Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. We are in a series on the love of God. And, you know, if you haven't heard the first two episodes, you need to go back and definitely listen, because there's a foundation that is being built as we go further. Now, we're going to go onto another level on this podcast. And so let me open in a word of prayer, and then let's go to the word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of God. Father, we don't rush into this. Lord, we honor and reverence your love, and we treat it so tenderly, so gently. We don't want to be so calloused that we're not sensitive to love. And Father, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, that by hearing we'll increase, and that we won't lose or be stolen from by that which we have already received. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, today I want you to begin, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter, the first chapter. And I want you to look at verse 22. So 1 Peter 1, or 1 Peter 1, depending if you're an American or if you're a British, an English, the Bible says this: seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, now listen, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Now, in the Greek language, when it talks about unfeigned love, it means pretend phileo love. Okay? So think about that. Pretend phileo love. So as you are purifying your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, and what's the goal? Unto what? Not a pretend brotherly love. That's what it says. See that you love agape one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, there is a lot in this verse. It's a big verse. It really is a big verse. Now, remember, it's Peter who is writing this. And so in one verse, he talks about how we as the body of Christ need to be developing a phileo love that is not pretend. Now, a phileo love is different than an agape love. And, you know, usually in Christianity, we know that we call God's love agape. And because of our view of love, we get gushy. Oh, the agape, it's a gushy love. And phileo is brotherly love. But let's try to rewrite some of our understanding here. Phileo love, to me, is best described as a team. When I played American football, everyone on the team, we all had the same goal. We were working together to accomplish a goal, and we had to have phileo love. We're brothers in arms. We have the same goal. And because we have the same goal, you're my brother. I'm for you. Anyone attacks you, I'm going to attack them, and I'm going to help you because you're on my team. And this team has a goal. It has a purpose. And so there is a purpose that unites us. And because of that, there is a phileo love in operation. But he says, not only do you need a love that's not pretending, a phileo love that's not a pretend love, he says, now listen, you better make sure that you love one another with the agape love fervently. The agape love is a love that places value where there is no value. And you give it value by love. And so we have in Christ the capability to not only have phileo love in operation, but also we have access to this agape, this love of God that is rich in mercy, greatness in abounding, and we can use that to affix value. Now, this is beyond my understanding. But God says that he's given to us this love that's able to go into the realm of the Spirit and bring the love of God, the presence of God. Now, Peter is an interesting guy because if you know the life of Peter, he had to come to a revelation of this love. In order to spend time with this, we've got to go to the book of John. And now we're gonna let the apostle of love, John, talk to us for a little bit here. And in John chapter 13, verse 1, we're gonna take a look at Jesus here. We're gonna get a revelation of him, of who he really is. Verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew the hour was come, and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, he placed a value upon them by his love. Those who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, it's easy to start with love. Sometimes it's hard, not so easy to end with love. Jesus loved them to the end. Now, I want you to think about that. Maybe you have a relationship in your life right now that you had love, but that love has ended. And and so we're looking at what Jesus was like this. Supper having ended, and the devil having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, verse 3 is key to this passage. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God. He rises from supper. He lays aside his garments. He takes a towel, and he girds himself. And after that, he pours water into the basin and begins to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he had been girt. Then he came to Simon Peter. Now, remember, Simon just wrote something about love, but let's learn something about Simon. He comes to Simon Peter. Peter says, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "What I do, you don't understand now, but you shall know later." Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I wash you not, you have no part with me." Now, there's some big stuff going on here. Peter had a mentality of the world. Jesus, you're the leader. We serve you. Jesus didn't have that mentality. Jesus knew he was the leader. In fact, think about this. He knows that God the Father has put all things into his hands. Now, what would you be like if you knew that God gave you complete authority? What would you do with that? I mean, oh my goodness. But Jesus, in knowing that he had complete dominion and authority, strips himself of his garment, and he gets down and he begins to wash the feet of these disciples. And they're flabbergasted. I mean, they don't understand it. And he said, "You don't understand this, but you will later." he gets to Peter, and Peter's like, oh, no, I got the world's mentality. You are the leader. And Jesus is thinking, if I don't wash you, you will not be a part of me. And it was such humility, knowing he had complete authority. Now, this is our Jesus. We want to get some understanding of what he's like. He has complete authority and he's completely humble. Why do you love Jesus? Well, there's a lot of reasons why, but I think one of the greatest ones is because he's humble. You can call on him at any time and you know he's listening. You know that when you jump in your car and you're upset, you can start talking to the Lord and you know he's listening. He doesn't say, hey, I'm really busy with the universe right now. Can I schedule you for next week, Monday at 3 o'clock, end of the day? It's not like that. And that's why you love him. Now, Peter, finally he washes him. And then he says, do you know what I have done? Verse 13, you call me Master and Lord, and you're right. I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's, for I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And so it's very interesting. He ends this whole sequence with, if you understand this and do it, you're going to be happy. You know, there's a reality in our lives that many times we're not happy because we're not doing this. This brings a happiness from the Lord because you humble yourself and you begin to love your brothers. Now, I don't think Peter totally understood what was going on. And Jesus said, you know, you really don't. And so you know the story. Peter says, Jesus, I'll die for you. And, you know, and Jesus says, Peter, I have prayed that your faith will not fail because Satan has asked for you to divide you, to sift you, to get your faith divided so that you're operating in the flesh, and then to lure you out. That's sifting. But he says, I'm praying for your faith, that it won't fail. And, you know, here's Peter. Here's Peter, the disciple that, you know, Jesus, you're not going to go to the cross. And then Jesus says, Satan, get behind me. And all those other apostles are like, we knew there was a problem with Peter. Jesus is talking about the devil and he's talking at Peter. And so now Peter's like, I'm going to serve you to the end. And Jesus is like, well, actually, you're going to deny me. So Peter is all heart, and most of the time he doesn't know what he's talking about. Can that happen? 100%. I guarantee you, at times, you're no different. You're talking, and you have no idea what you're talking about. And you also don't know what you're yielding to. We're normal. We're people. And now, Jesus, obviously, he goes, he's apprehended. Peter follows him to the high priest's courtyard. Peter denies him 3 times and then realizes that's what Jesus said. You were supposed to pray. Now remember that. You were supposed to pray that you would not enter into the temptation. But Jesus knew he wasn't going to pray and that Satan was requesting him. And so he entered into the temptation, but Jesus was praying that his faith not fail. And I want you to know, Jesus is like that. He's praying for your faith. And sometimes you just need to just worship him and rest and let his prayers minister to you. Because his prayers for you, he's interceding for you, that your faith won't fail. Don't give up, because Jesus is praying, and that faith is going to get stronger in you because he's the author and finisher of faith. He's praying for your faith. Don't quit. Don't quit. And so now, when you get over to John 21, you get something that happens here. Now, Jesus is raised from the dead. Peter realizes Jesus is alive. Peter knows, I've totally denied him, and I used to be, at least in my thinking, his favorite. And I wanted to be the leader. Now I can't be the leader because I deny Jesus three times, just like Jesus said. And so the internal condemnation and confusion upon Peter, it was huge. And because Peter loved Jesus, but he was learning, wasn't he? Now, in John chapter 21, it says, verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed himself. They were together, Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I go a-fishing. Now remember, Peter is struggling. He really feels he's lost his friendship with Jesus, actually. And so what he's saying here in the English, I go a-fishing, literally means in the Greek, I'm going back to fishing. I used to be a fisherman, and now I'm going back to this. Years ago, Jesus got into my boat, took me out. We threw the nets on the other side. We caught a lot of fish. And then he taught from my boat. And then he said, Peter, I want you to follow me. I want to make you a fisher of men. And Peter answered the call. Peter left his boats. Peter left the nets. And he began to follow this man of love. And now he's denied him. Now he knows there's no way God can use me. And so Peter says, I am going back to fishing. And these other apostles follow him. They're all confused. They said, we're going to go with you. They went forth. They entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. He knows what's going on. And he's heading to intersect Peter, because he's not only been praying for his faith, now he's got to restore and fix something in Peter. Not just the feeling of condemnation. There was something else that had to be fixed with revelation in Peter. They didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said, children, do you have any meat? They said, no. He said, well, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. So they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw in the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, now that was John. John knew Jesus loved him, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat around him, for he was naked. And he did cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship. Now, Peter's jumping out of the boat. He didn't walk on the water. He got wet, but he's going to Jesus. He loves Jesus, and in this inner turmoil that's in him, and he's running to his creator. He's running to this man that's only ever been so kind to him, and always he could, with Peter, always was so strong, but he never met someone stronger than Peter other than Jesus. Jesus always had a way of fixing things, and he's running over to Jesus. But the other disciples came in the boat. They didn't want to get wet. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with them. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire and coals and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said, "Bring the fish which you have caught." So Peter went up, drew the net to the land full of great fish, 153, and because it was so many, the net didn't even break. Jesus said, "Come and dine." And none of those disciples asked, "Who are you?" They knew it was Jesus. Jesus then came and took bread and gave it to them, and fish as well. Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus was raised from the dead. He conquered sin. He conquered the devil. He conquered death. He conquered everything. And now he's raised from the grave. I mean, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But here he is again. Here he is again. He's cooking some food, and he's breaking bread, and he's feeding these disciples. He's making sure he's helping them. You know, I always say this, how important was the cross? And every Christian will say it was utmost importance. Well, how important was the resurrection? Oh, Brother Eric, it was so important. How important were these apostles? They were just as important. And so here we see Jesus, who conquered the cross, conquered the grave, and now he's ministering to these leaders. And how is he doing it? By love. He's loving them. And he's teaching them his character, his personality. And I just sit there and I think, what was it like for those men to see those hands with the scars in them, breaking the bread and feeding them and giving them? And Jesus hasn't changed. Right now, he's the same. Right now, where you are, if you will just kind of back off all your heavy thinking and engage your heart of faith and say, "Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you, and I want to be like you." That's really the prayer that we pray. I want to be like you. And let me tell you something. You think Jesus is going to ignore that prayer? Oh, no. I really think that's the utmost of the calling of God. He created us in his image. He created us to be like him. And I really believe the greatest understanding of being like Christ is walking in love. The fervency of the agape and the non-pretending phileo. And that is the goal, is to abide in love, and in that love, know I'm more than a conqueror. There is nothing that can separate me from the force and the moving of the love of God, who's so rich in mercy. With such great love, he loved me. And with that love, I'm a conqueror, and now I've got to learn to dwell in that love. Now listen, we still got to finish this. So I want you to go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. Let me pray for you. Father, reveal your love to my friend in Jesus' name. Remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.